and welcome into another edition of Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo with you, along with my partner Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory. Great to see you, my friend.
You too.
Good. And our new executive producer, Mr. Zach Factor.
So we're going to give him a name. We can't call him Mr. Producer.
I don't know, man. When you have a name like Zach Factor.
Yeah, that's superhero-ish.
Yeah, if it was, seriously, if he had a normal name, if his name was like
Joe Bob.
Yeah.
That's two first
Sam
names.
Sam Brown. Yeah. You know, if it was like something normal, I'd say Mr. Producer is a pretty great name. Yeah. But when you're Zach Factor, you don't hide that. That's out there.
Kind of makes me want to change my last name.
There you go.
Need something cooler.
Yeah.
I got a question,
Tony. Do
you
have a business card? Yeah.
No, I don't.
You need business cards. Just without even a business listed on it. Just Zach Factor.
But your
number.
It has to have like a cool, like going fast or.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's got to be a logo of some kind. There's got to be an image on there of some.
So if you own a logo company, you should probably reach out to Zach.
Yeah. Sure, if you do graphic design.
Yeah.
Send us your best Zach Factor logo.
Yeah. It sounds super.
There's a contest in there somewhere.
I'm with you.
It'd be interesting to see what people submit.
So what is new?
Well,
what's happening at the store right now? Let's do that first. Let's start the show with that one. What is happening at Southern Armory right now?
Got some gun stuff or gunsmith stuff going on. I'm thinking about doing a live stream for, I got my iPhone and I got my iPad.
Oh,
so
bragger.
Bragger. Hey, apparently you're rich if you've got an iPhone. I heard that the other day.
A phone and a tablet?
Hey, you know, it's an old tablet too. Anyway, that's not like a cool iPhone, like not like the 10, but, so what I was thinking about doing was, bringing my wife in. She hates being on camera, but she'll work it for me.
Yeah.
And like maybe cleaning guns. For everybody, because I've got a couple cleaning jobs in.
That's and a great idea.
I've got some AR stuff going on. I've got an upper, a guy crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and he maybe listens, so we won't go too far into it, but this upper got crushed. And I'm like, how do you crush an upper? And he tells me, and I'm like, all right. He's like, I fixed it. I'm like, how did you fix a crushed piece of aluminum? I'm just curious. And then I'm thinking to myself, aluminum doesn't really, like, go back.
Right.
I mean, it will, but it ain't.
It's not going to be the same.
Yeah,
it's never going to be the same.
Never the same, as far as strength-wise. So I've got to hammer out an A2 front sight, which is something I do a lot. A lot of people come in and they don't know how to remove that A2 front sight off an AR.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, man, I could do a video on that too. And then I got to reassemble the upper so I could do an upper assembly video.
Dude,
but
there anything in life that I don't know how to do.
Is working on guns?
I YouTube. Well, no, that too.
Oh, okay.
I YouTube. You know, if I'm working on something or I'm trying to fix something and I don't know how to do it, I YouTube it.
Right.
And there is always there's lousy ones.
Yeah.
But if you look, if you're lucky enough to find one, a good one on the first one or two, then good for you. Sometimes you should, and a good point, you should probably look and make sure that, like, the first one you find, then you watch three more and the other three do it completely different, you should probably go with the consistent.
Right.
Not the one guy who's like, here's my trick.
And I've done that. I've got a Dodge Ram.
But because of that, and I think a lot of people are like that. I think a lot of people use the internet and YouTube for that type of stuff. A good, trustworthy people, you know, somewhere that people know, like they know you and they, you know, hopefully know this show. Then they would know that they just need to look at your videos for that sort
right.
of stuff.
And there
that'd
always,
be great.
There's other ways.
Great idea.
There's other ways to do stuff too, and so I find myself doing that too,
mm-hmm.
just to see if there's a better way or better technique.
Right.
So I mean, it's not unheard of.
But, right. Absolutely.
Silencer code just ended. They're bias suppressor, good a suppressor. I forgot to mention it. My wife kept telling me, make sure you mention it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now, of course, it's over and I remember. So, my bad. Anyway, I ended up picking up a suppressor.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we're at the, I already had a rifle one, but I really wanted a handgun suppressor.
Are we beyond the 4th of July American sale?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're outside of that. We're going to have another one starting up in August. Probably some stuff to do with Ruger.
Okay.
I haven't quite finished everything up on that, but generally August is Ruger. And then September we do like Smith & Wesson. September is Sig Sauer. October is Glocktober. And normally we try to throw Smith & Wesson in there too, so that might be August too.
That's cool.
Kind of between Ruger and Smith & Wesson.
Right. Good stuff.
And then November... We do a little bit of offering, and then we do our Black Friday specials, and then we get into December. Man, it's Christmas time.
You guys, right now, the conceal and carry classes, are they got one, are they really busy, or are they you got some room, or what?
They're about halfway full.
Okay.
You know, and it's...
So a good time to get signed up.
To get in, yeah, especially if you don't like the bigger ones. And summer's always been kind of a little lower attendance anyway, because people are going on vacation.
Right.
And we a lot of the people we see in the classes are your typical mom, dad, you know. And then, don't get me wrong, we have the older adults in there too, but, you know, we see a lot of that, you know, 25 to 35, 40 kind of seems to be...
What's the youngest person that's ever been in one of your classes, and what's the oldest person?
I think like 10.
Yeah,
10 or 11.
Yeah,
and then that
and
was
you
just
said a, as long as they're with their parent,
yeah, their parent was there.
As long as they're with their parent, you have no problem with that, right?
Doesn't bother me a bit.
Yeah,
it doesn't bother me a bit.
And just what about the oldest?
Man, probably 80s, late 80s.
Really?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, every bit. I mean, I'd probably have to ask my wife because she. She probably know off the dry top of her head, but I bet you every bit of 80.
Wow.
Or older.
That's pretty great.
You know, but yeah, somewhere in the 80s would be my suspicion. Because they're kind of like, okay, like what's going on? Like, you know, because I like to talk to everybody.
Right.
When I see somebody in their 30s in there or 20s in there, doesn't even
normal.
Yeah, it doesn't even faze me. When you see somebody in their 80s, you're like,
something's happening.
What's up?
Right.
You know, and then, you know, I just talked to him
my
a little bit.
My kids are trying to put me in the home.
Right, yeah. I'm going to fight them off. Like, all right.
I'm standing my ground.
Let's not give you a gun. No, and you know, when you see those 60, 70, 80-year-olds in the class, they're just like, well, you know, the neighborhood's not like what it used to be. And then, you know, I see a lot more crime in the news. And then I always got to talk to him a little bit because, well, I mean, you're in the news business. Mm-hmm. You're Mr. News Director now. Mm-hmm. You know, that came with a big promotion and a corner office and a cool business card.
I haven't got those things yet.
You really? No cool business card?
I get the title, I think. Okay. That's about it.
Well, if you
I don't
own
even
a,
know. I don't even have the business card.
If you own a graphic design business, we've got two customers.
Yeah, there you go. We need a Zach Factor business card.
Yep.
And we need a Tony Colombo news director business card.
But, you know, so I always talk to him because there are always maybe some special considerations, like, why are you in the class? So I'm worried about my neighborhood. So I pull him off the side. Maybe we talk a little bit more home defense.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, or they say, I don't plan on carrying the gun out in public. You know, it's just a house thing. And we just talk about, you know, considerations for the house. The class is really, really broad overview. You know, we kind of hit carrying in public, traveling on, you know, airline, and then traveling in car, and then, you know, we talk about work, and, you know, and then obviously carrying in public. But, you know, if there's one particular topic that a student wants to talk about kind of on a break, man, we'll go off to the side and we'll talk. We don't care. You know, we're there for you.
And that's probably better. I mean, you want to get in the head of people that are learning because
what they're thinking.
I would say, are there any red flags that you're looking for? Like, if somebody seems to be interested in a gun because they're really angry about something, like
I've never encountered anybody like that. Now, I mean, I've heard other
stories.
Yeah, the gun community is small. You know, all the owners of the stores, we all know one another.
Right,
we all talk with one another, and we all know what. Kind of maybe one specializes in over another. Mm-hmm. So somebody comes in, they're looking for, you know, gun X. I'm like, man, you know, I can order it, but I guarantee you, you know,
so-and-so
down the street's got it in stock. Go down there, put your hands on it.
Yeah.
And if you want to come back up here and get a price to kind of, you know, check it, that's fine. I'll give you a price. You know, I'll give you a price before you leave, and then you can figure it out, you know.
Yeah.
And but we all run about the same. You know, you might only be $10, $15 difference between them, so you're really paying on service. Who do you like? Who do you like more? So, but, you know, I've heard stories of the red flag thing, and I actually make a joke in class because it's kind of a serious topic, but I do make mention, you know, if you go to Harbor Freight, which is right next door to us, if you've never been to Harbor Freight, you should go. It's quite an experience. But if you come in from Harbor Freight with your Chinese duct tape, your Chinese, you know, tarp, and your Chinese shovels with some lye and kitty litter, you want to buy a 12 gauge.
Right.
What's some red flags for
us?
Right,
we're going to have a discussion about
this. Like, what's going on? Oh, I want to go duck hunting. Okay, well.
It doesn't appear that that's the fact.
Well, with duck hunting, that probably, you know, you dig a hole, you know, down a little bit so you can lay up a little easier, and you might want a tarp absorb all the moisture body heat, you know. So that's kind of.
People are like, oh, this is great. I need to tell them that I am going duck hunting.
Right, yeah. You know, it's the only justification I come up with for a tarp and shovels from Harbor Freight. You want me to order your layout blind? Nope. Okay.
What are the things that you're looking for when you are talking to somebody about buying a gun, particularly for that first time? I mean, I would imagine that some people come in and you probably always want to kind of get an idea of, for getting them the right gun, you probably want to get an idea of what their situation is.
And so it's like kind of what your situation is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like how you going to carry, you're going to carry in a purse or you know, like I got my backpack today.
Yeah, where are you going to keep it? Right.
And then, you know, or pocket, you know, cause that's going to dictate kind of the size of the gun. And then, if you're going to carry, you know, and you go to Illinois a lot, well, we need to talk about Illinois and their laws, but you need a CCW permit if you want to keep it in the vehicle. And there's probably people out there going, you can't even have a gun loaded in Illinois. Well, if you have a CCW permit from Missouri, you can. I'll throw up that article if I can find it.
So a CCW permit in Missouri will allow you certain rights in Illinois?
Limited. Okay. Yeah. And so it's not blanket, like I can carry wherever I want, but you can have it loaded in the vehicle, concealed in Illinois with a Missouri permit. And mind you, that's a Missouri permit, not the constitutional carry that we have. And we always tell people it's really limited constitutional carry because the state didn't come in and really blanket it. It's still kind of left up to the individual counties and cities, too. So we're not like a blanket constitutional carry. But when you go into Illinois, yeah, you want to have a loaded firearm in the vehicle and you have a valid Missouri permit, then you can still carry that firearm in the vehicle and you can have no issues. Now, the moment you want to step out of that vehicle, you're in public, you've got to leave it in the vehicle and you've got to secure it in a container meant for a gun. And then we fall, you know, you fall back into the old, what we used to know. And so I used to tell people, when you're going to go to Illinois, unload the gun, secure it in a container meant for a container that's lockable because, you know, you're liable for it. Uh-huh. And you know, so you'd, you know, you used to see people from Illinois driving into Missouri on their motorcycles. You'd see them all pulled over before they crossed the state line putting on their helmets.
Right.
And I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if all these people I see pulled over on Coke Road are taking their guns and locking them up. You know, is it just the opposite? We're just doing different stuff. So. Right.
How big of a hassle is it to travel, not in a car, but when you're getting in an airplane?
Airplane?
Depends. Yeah.
You know, I'm a pilot, so for me, I just get in an airplane like I'm getting in my car.
Right.
Just carry it.
But if you're
going to
get on a commercial airline and
you're going to get on the commercial, boys.
What do you need to know to try to make that experience as smooth as possible?
First of all, if you've got questions on this, come into the shop. We'll talk to you and we'll show you what you need. But the big rundown we give people is we show them this container. It's a lockable. It's a vehicle safe, but it's a hard side locking container. That's what TSA says you have to have. Mm-hmm. Now, the nice part about this lockable container is you're more than likely going to get in a rental car when you get there. So you take the cable and now you have a lockable safe inside your rental car. Mm. You know, so you're kind of two birds, one stone. Mm-hmm. Fits more than guns. It fits your wallet, knife, spare magazines. I carry a flashlight, passport. You know, so you put a lot of stuff in there, especially if you're going to a destination like South Padre Island, for example. I've always wanted to go there, but never been. But Florida is a good one. California, going to the beaches. You don't want to carry, you know, your wallet and all this other stuff with you. So you just kind of put it in this vehicle safe, leave it in your vehicle locked up. You just take the vehicle fob with you, throw it in your bag. You're in good shape. So, but getting into the airlines, so you need to show up to the airport with the firearm unloaded. They like to see the ammunition in the original box, okay, or some kind of hard container. And then when you get up to the ticket agent, you're just going to declare the firearm. Now, I have a firearm. It's unloaded. Mm-hmm. You know, it's in a hard side lock container. They're going to give you a slip. You're going to fill it out. You're going to sign your name saying you know they're not liable for damages or anything like that. And then... What's up?
How much experience do you have with traveling? Like,
A gun?
Yeah.
Oh, a ton.
And getting on an airplane. Because my question is, we might have to
bring it in the next.
We might have to answer
this
in the next segment. But the question that I have for you is, and in fact, let's do that. Here's the question I'm going to ask. We'll take a break, and then we hear the answer on the other side.
All right.
Do you, just because of the political atmosphere in the country? You even if you do everything right and you go up to the agent and you declare that you have a weapon and you want to get, you know, you're going to be boarding this plane and you want to do it right. Do you feel like you get like an immediate stink eye or do you get like, you get that immediate?
Do I have
like,
a story for you?
Do you get that immediate sense? Okay, that's exactly what I want.
Right.
Like, you're all of a sudden you're being treated, even though you're doing everything exactly the way you're supposed to do it. You get start to get treated differently.
Right. So we'll get into it heavily here. Okay. But for the people that are going to go because they just pull up to their destination and they're like, oh, I got to stick around and listen to this.
Yeah, don't go anywhere.
I've had mixed results.
All right.
I've had few people that are like gun people. What are you carrying? You know, it's so cool. I carry too.
Right.
And then, of course, if they're Lambert, I give them a business card. And then, hey, it's just how it rolls. And then there's been places that I've been abroad, you know, like Texas, Colorado, and they kind of been like, you got a what?
All right, let's take a break and hear your story. Don't go anywhere. Right. It's Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to Second Amendment Radio.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio here on FM News Talk 97.1. Tony Colombo and Aaron Tarlow, the owner of Southern Armory, along with you today. Thanks again for supporting this show. We do this every Saturday at 3 o'clock here on FM News Talk 97.1. If you have any questions about firearms, if you have any questions about the laws surrounding gun rights and Second Amendment rights, anything like that.
Meaning of life.
Meaning of light. Don't hesitate to send them our way. You can follow me on Twitter at TonyColombo971. You can also send your questions to the new Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. You can also send questions to the Southern Armory Facebook page. So several ways to submit your questions, and we love answering them. I got a whole bunch, so we'll start to get some of them on today's show, and we'll continue to answer them on every show that we have. I've been really getting good response on asking for questions, so we will try to get every single one of those questions answered for you as we go on. Right now, as we went to break, we're talking about traveling with your gun and the hassles that you may or may not encounter, particularly if you're getting on an airplane with your firearm. And I asked Aaron if when he travels with his gun, if you do everything right, you follow the protocol, you follow the rules exactly the way you're supposed to, do you still sometimes run into, just because of the political environment that we live in and guns being such a divisive issue right now.
Yep, definitely.
Do you ever find yourself following the rules exactly, but then somehow being treated like a criminal or treated like you're up to no good?
Right.
Just because the fact that you walked up and said, "Hey, so, I'm traveling with my gun."
The people at Lambert are primo.
Okay, good to know. That's good to know.
So I've never had an issue at Lambert with declaring a firearm or traveling with a firearm.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be
great to know. That's awesome.
Yeah. So the first time I carried a gun, you know, I walk up to the counter and this is like, you know, I'm kind of nervous anyway because, you know, I'm getting ready to go to Arizona, and walk up to the ticket counter and talk to the agent, and she, you know, I tell her, you know, I got a firearm to declare, and she goes, "You've got a gun?" Like really, really loud. I'm like, "Oh my god!"
In an airport.
I'm like, "I'm gonna get shot by airport police."
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do with that, and I'm like, "Go get your supervisor." I already read. Like, you know, there's just a form I got to fill out.
Right.
You know. So she goes, gets her supervisor. Supervisor's like, "Oh yeah, this is no big deal," and hands me the form. I sign it. They check to see if the gun's unloaded. The actual airline did, and then they go, "Okay, yeah, just take it down, you know, and you're in good shape." And maybe they even took it from me and then just, you know, put it on the airplane, no big deal.
Right.
So then as things kind of progressed, you know, we're going over probably 10 years, 12 years. Every time I travel, I take a firearm with me.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started noticing that instead of the airline ticket agent checking, which I kind of preferred them not to because they're not always gun people.
Mm-hmm.
I was in Texas. And I had the ticket agent actually pull the firearm out of the case without even checking.
Oh.
Yeah, which, you know, it's whatever. But then she had her finger on the trigger and she's pointing at me and goes, "Yeah, I think it's unloaded." And I'm like, "We're in Texas. Like, this is like gun capital USA. It's like the Holy Grail down here. What's wrong with you people?" So she goes, "Yeah, it looks unloaded." She starts putting it away. And so I'm like less than amused because I just got flagged with my own gun.
Right.
And I said, no, let's check and make sure that's really unloaded.
Yeah.
So, I show her how to, properly hold it. I give her just direct. She's got the gun in her hands. I'm not going to touch it in here.
Right.
You're out of your mind. Pick your finger up out of the trigger guard. And so she does that. And I go, now pull it back. And so she struggles to pull it back, but gets it pulled back. And I show her how to lock it. I said, now take your finger and stick it in there. She goes, all right. So she just jams her finger in there. And now for all of you that carry a gun, you know when you stick your finger in where that cartridge goes and you pull it out, it's dirty.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like me kind of fighting back a little bit. Because she could have just looked and been like, there's nothing in there, but I wanted to make sure I hammered it home.
Right.
So sticks her finger in. She pulls her finger out. She says, there's a black ring around my finger. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, it's unloaded. Dirty.
Right.
So
it's empty.
Yeah. And so, go ahead and put the slide back down gently. So she puts the slide back down gently, and then I go, now we know it's unloaded. So she puts it back in the case, and then, she throws it on this little conveyor belt, and it goes yonder. Kind of fast-forwarding, we're flying out to Seattle, Washington, and we're going to my friend's wedding. This is a college friend, and she's kind of she is like a bleeding heart, left-wing liberal, but
mm-hmm.
I have a very diverse group of friends,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine. Because you can mute them on Facebook, so you just don't see their propaganda. But so we're going out for her wedding, and so I'm going to take a firearm with me. And at this point, I'd already kind of got tired of them messing with my guns and flagging me. I mean, for those of you who don't know that term, it's when they pick up a gun and they point it at you.
Yeah,
that's flagging.
I've told this story on the show before about the first time I ever went to a meet shoot with my dad and
this is a good story.
And some of his friends, and I was allowed to carry the rifle that I was shooting in the meat shoot myself, and I had let it just because I was not paying attention and I was just being lazy. And
sounds like you were really little too.
Yeah, I was probably 15,
okay,
16,
a little older. Yeah, you
like
know
that.
Better. You know
yeah,
better.
But it was the first time, and I just was lazy, and I kind of let it as I was walking around instead of being diligent
upright,
and keeping it, pointing straight up in the air. I had let it sort of slide down my shoulder a little bit, and so I started to notice that every time I turned, I would see the people behind me like ducking or moving, really like darting around really fast. And then I had, a couple of people yell at me like, hey, up, get it up. And my dad just hadn't, nobody that I was walking with, because I'm walking with people. So they didn't notice that it happened. But I was noticing the people around me reacting.
Yeah.
To, and of course, the gun was unloaded. But, but
yeah,
it's,
we don't know.
But you never know. And even, I mean, it's good practice, and I'm sure you tell people all this all the time. Even if you are certain, even if you are 100% positive that the gun is unloaded, you still need to be very
pointed
aware
direction.
Of, always pointed a safe direction. Exactly. Good way to say it. So, sorry. So, go ahead.
Okay. So, yeah. We got
didn't mean to divert.
Yeah, no,
there.
You're good. We got
I wanted to tell my little story. We got
to Seattle, Washington, and so and now at this point, TSA is checking your guns. Like, you declare them. And then they would send you down to TSA. Sometimes the airline employees I noticed would carry the bag down to TSA.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, I just carried the gun in here. If I wanted to shoot the place up, I'd have done it when I walked in.
Right.
I'm not going to declare the gun and check in and then go do it.
Right.
So I noticed that the ticket agents would take the gun, walk you down to TSA. Sometimes you would do it yourself, but in this case, I was doing it myself. This was in SeaTac, I guess it's the airport out there, and so I walk it down, and it's this like a Hawaiian native, bigger guy, mm-hmm. and he's like, you got a gun? I said, yeah, I got a gun. And he opens up the case, and he checks it, and then zip ties my bag close and sends it through. And then the most recent times I've been traveling, a couple times out to Colorado, and I took a firearm with me, and in St. Louis, I declared it. The ticket agent put it on the conveyor, and it went down, and TSA checked it. And I had to hang out at the ticket counter in case TSA had a question.
Mm-hmm.
And then, just that was smooth. But then when I went out to Denver Denver International,
mm-hmm.
DEN,
mm-hmm.
I guess is the identifier, they actually took the gun from me, walked me down to TSA. TSA checked it. Then they walked me out to some other place to put it on a ramp. I freaking walk it all over this airport. I'm like, you're killing me, so it wasn't as streamlined there. So every airport's kind of got its own little you know,
way of doing things.
Yeah, I guess that's it. I was looking for a bigger word.
I was procedure or whatever. But it's good to hear that you haven't run into, like, I don't trust people, and I know how angry people get, you know, and how they will take a stand on an issue that they politically disagree with.
Right.
Like, so see you going up to declare a gun and then somebody being like, why do you think you need to carry a gun?
And
what's wrong with you? You know,
time,
like, it's starting to, you know, lecture you about.
And I got that the time before in Colorado. I don't remember the airline I was on. It doesn't even matter. But
right.
I was like, I got a firearm to declare. And she goes, were you a cop? I'm like, no.
Does it matter? No.
Like, you have to do the same thing regardless if I'm a cop or not. And she's, why do you have a firearm? And I'm like, well,
why are you asking all these questions?
Because I'm traveling out here, lady. Well, what did you come out here for? You know, and I was out there doing fire department stuff. So I told her I was out here, you know, doing some training with the fire department and Homeland Security. And then then that was that. And then she goes, well, I politically don't agree with them. And I'm like, I really don't care.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking
about. But she didn't really make a big stink of it. And then of course, I asked her if she wanted to see if it was unloaded. And like, just, you know, because I knew she wouldn't want to see it. I knew TSA was going to do it. But, you know, I asked. And she said no. I was like, all right, that's fine. But, you know, I'm going to push back a little bit, you know, especially if you're ignorant. But so one time I went through Southwest here in Terminal 2 and at Lambert, and you declared it super easy. And I walk over to TSA and I tell the TSA agent, hey, there, I have a firearm in here. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, he's a gun guy. So
now you're getting the opposite of the other one. Now
yeah,
you're
totally.
Getting, like,
yeah.
I want to talk about this.
Yeah, so he does. He does want to talk about it. And so I put my bag on the conveyor, or hand it to him, and he puts it on the conveyor thing. It goes up into the machine, and the agent working the machine, you know, he's got like bags in front of us. So me and this guy, he's like, yeah, what do you carry? I'm like, oh, I got a Glock 19. And he's like, how do you carry it? Do you have anything on there? So I'm like, oh, yeah, I got night sights and an extended slide release, and, you know, and this is how many mags
he's
I carry.
Loving it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we're just going back and forth. He's telling me what he carries. And the next thing I know, this other TSA agent walks up with this bag, and he's got like the classic Disney, like, you know, dinner.
Yeah.
Dinner
thing,
plate,
yeah.
Eyes like bulging out,
yeah.
And he walks up to the other guy, and like you could tell this other guy's real senior and been doing this a while. The one that I'm talking to, he goes, "There's a gun in here," and he goes, "Yeah, it's this guy's."
Yeah,
and he goes,
"That's what we're talking about."
Yeah, he's like, "Okay, well," he goes, "Well, is it unloaded?" He goes, "Yeah, but there's a gun in here." He goes, "Yeah, it's fine. Just throw it on that cart, and I'll take it down to the airplane." I was like, "This is awesome." It's like. So I've always had good experiences at Lambert. It's always been...
That's good to know. That's really good to know. That makes me proud.
Right.
You know,
Because, you know, we've had the NRA convention here twice. So I think they're used to it. I think we are a gun, you know, very gun culture-y.
Yeah.
And if you look at, you know, how many gun stores we have in St. Louis compared to other cities of similar size, we have a lot of gun stores per capita.
Right.
So, you know, we are definitely a gun culture here. So I've never had an issue at Lambert. They've been awesome.
So one of the questions we have, we only have a couple minutes left in this segment. So again, let's do the setup now, and then we'll talk about it in a minute. One of the questions that we get a lot has to do with background checks.
Yes.
And the process right now of background checks, and then I think a lot of people, I don't know if fear is the right word, but certainly concern about background checks being changed, like the regulations of what you go through in a background check, or particularly waiting periods.
Right, yeah, and then ammunition background checks is another one that they've kind of rumbling
that,
of.
Yeah, that we hear that maybe the government is going to be implementing, or there's people working on.
Mm-hmm.
So want to know from you what the truth is about background checks, and what the truth is about the rumors that we hear about. Are there going to be longer wait periods? Are there going to be more regulations, you think, being put on people that are trying to purchase ammunition and firearms? So we'll get those questions answered coming up next. Don't go anywhere. We continue Second Amendment Radio right here on FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to Second Amendment Radio.
Yes.
It was going to happen there.
The drum. I was about to drum.
You were. I was like, oh, here it comes. Oh, here it comes.
Aaron,
welcome back.
Aaron has realized that I am a air drummer.
Welcome back to Second Amendment Radio. Sorry,
go.
I totally ruined your
right.
moment there. This is Aaron Tarlis, Southern Armory, sitting here with Tony Colombo.
You got
Mr.
it.
Mr. News Director for 97.1 FM.
You got it.
Talk radio.
No,
and then we
nice.
Got Zach Factor.
Zach Factor.
Mr. Producer.
AKA Mr. Producer.
Yep.
I like it.
So, but anyway, so the joke that I've, you know, we've been going on, what, 6 weeks now?
Oh, it's been more than that.
Oh, has it really?
I think it's getting close to 10 weeks. I think it's been
wow.
at least 8.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, I don't know. I have no
this
sense of time.
This show is just. It's just part of the rotation
so,
now.
So,
we're not even the new kids on the block anymore.
I know.
We're just regular old. We're just been here forever.
I'm like, yeah, that's
still
just
going
Aaron.
Strong.
Don't
worry
park
about
in
it.
That spot. I realized where I parked last week after the fact. And then. We'll address that. Anyway, so, but anyway, for those of you who don't know.
It's not for you.
Yeah, it's our inside joke. But
that's
anyway,
funny.
I said, Tony, I was like, you know, there's some little things that I notice about people and, you know, and like, you know, I analyzed Tony, did I not?
No, oh
like,
yeah.
Like, I mean, straight up, like, you're right-handed.
Well, and I'm a fascinating specimen because I've got so many OCD
little ticks.
And ticks and. People, yeah.
And that's fine.
You
it doesn't bother
really,
me.
You start analyzing and you just start going down the rabbit hole, man.
Right. So I kind of analyzed
oh, this
him.
This too and this too?
I analyzed him real quick that he's
mm-hmm.
right-handed.
Mm-hmm.
And then his non-dominant hand, he wears his wristwatch on.
Mm-hmm.
And that he always
air drums.
Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm non-dominant hand. I got my wristwatch on there. Zach Factor over
mm-hmm.
there, non-dominant
mm-hmm.
hand.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of got a fossil thing going on. We got mm-hmm. the smartwatches.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, I'm behind the times.
Yeah, I got a fossil. I got one of those skeleton, like, you know, shows all the gears inside. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then my dog ate the wristband.
Oh.
Yeah, leather wristband. It must smell good. It smelled like me, I guess.
There you go.
Stupid German shepherds. But anyway, so yeah. So then, you know, I was kind of getting into, you know, you're right-handed, so you probably carry a gun on your right side.
Mm-hmm.
So then, you know, I always look, you know, if I notice they're right-handed, I always look at their right hip or right pocket
mm-hmm.
or, you know, the back, like kind of like the like, 4 or 5 o'clock position
mm-hmm.
and look, see if they're carrying a gun.
Mm-hmm. In the holster
just,
there.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yes. Or see if they're straps, you know, because I know kind of like the tip off.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people will have a gun on their hip or in their pocket or something.
Uh-huh.
And,
pocket's
and,
a good place.
And think that they are.
Discreet.
Yeah. That there's no way. And a person like you could probably spot that a mile away.
Mm-hmm. So I have friends. I think I mentioned this on air. A couple of my friends. And I'll walk up and I'll tap them.
Yes.
On their hip.
On their, yeah.
And they'll be like, what are you doing, dude? Like, they're trying to get away from me and I'm just keep going after them. Like, well, you can't carry a gun. You can't fight me off. But I'm looking. I'm tapping them on their right side.
Yeah.
That's Mike. And then
mm-hmm.
my buddy Brian, he's redheaded and left-handed. So, I mean,
so
like,
his is on the left.
Super minority. Well, yeah, to be left-handed and a redhead is, like, unheard of. I think he might even have green eyes or something weird. So
sounds like a real freak.
Yeah. he calls himself the left-handed ginger.
Nice. I like it.
And then B-word.
But
not the female dog
my
version.
My middle child
is
left-handed.
And red-headed?
And not red-headed.
Not red-headed.
But
not the mailman's good?
But it's... Nope. She is definitely a Columbo. She's got the... Dave Glover always jokes that... he's never seen a family that keeps making kids that look exactly the same. They all my
man.
Yeah, all
I'm
we,
only I'm
we
only
have a
one
look.
In.
We have a look. But I was so happy when she was left-handed. Like I think it's cool because it is
unique. 11% of the population.
It sets you apart. I think that's so cool. So
good.
I was happy.
It's hard to find a left-handed wristwatch.
And we have and my wife is a twin.
Oh,
my
really?
Wife's grandma is a twin.
Huh. So it runs.
So there's
runs
twins all over the family.
You got twins
so
yet?
Maybe I don't have twins yet, and I'm not going to end up with twins. I don't think because I think we're done.
Did you get fixed?
No, that's why I said think.
There's always a possibility.
That's why I said think.
Yeah.
But I have two daughters, and so the chances of me having
I think they skip a generation.
Exactly.
Twins skip a generation.
So exactly. That's right. Because my like I said, my wife's grandma. Not her parent. Mom, yeah. And then her. And then so it would be my grandkids would be the next generation that it should
Correct.
Be. It wouldn't be me having, it wouldn't be my wife having twins. It would be our kids having twins.
Yeah, I get it.
So there's a real good chance that I could have a left-handed twin baby, which would be grandkid, awesome.
And plus you'd have a bigger family. We just had this conversation. It's funny. Me and my uncle just had this conversation about big families and how it's kind of a dying thing. And
no, we have a pretty big, we're three kids these days. Yeah. Three kids is a big family.
Right.
All right. Got to get back on freaking track. Where did we go?
Background checks.
So we were talking about background checks before the last segment. I was telling you that we have gotten questions from people that are worried that background checks are going to be getting more intense.
Yeah, more stringent.
And is there going to be, for different background checks for things like ammunition. So,
and I don't have,
go ahead.
I don't have the answer for you.
So, but what can you explain currently goes into a background check, and then what?
So,
what are the things that you've heard that that they are trying to implement? Some people maybe on the left that are trying to implement things,
to do certain stuff.
What are they after? What do they want? They want
complete domination.
So right now, what's the background check process right now?
We would walk into Southern Armory and you'd say, "I want to purchase this firearm." We'd say, "Great. Do you have a Missouri ID?" If it's a handgun, you need a Missouri ID. If it's a long gun, so a rifle or a shotgun, you need just an ID of the 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
We'd give you a form. It's called a 4473. You can Google that and hit images, and it'll pull it up. I'll try to remember to put one on the Facebook page, both of them, Southern Armory Facebook page and the Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. But you get your last name, your first name, your middle name, your street address, cities, country, or county. Which people always say country, but country's on here too. So county, state, zip code, place of birth, your height, your weight, your sex, it's only male or female, birthday, social security number. That's the first
thing. So it sounds like a lot of the things that go into like a driver's license.
It's basically the first really nine on there. Are your driver's license information.
Yeah.
And I tell people it's the easiest test you're ever going to take because it's all about you.
Right.
So that's the first, eight or nine. Eight, I guess. Nine is a unique personal identification number that is issued to you by the FBI. If there has been any kind of confusion, you get people, like I got a buddy, his name is Adam Brooks. Go ahead and look him up. There's only a million of them.
Right, exactly.
And I guarantee you there's, one that was born on the same day as him. It's just a super common name. He always kicks a delay, 3-day delay. And we'll get into the waiting period thing here in a little bit. But he always kicks a 3-day delay. For those of you who know what that is, you're ahead of the game. Otherwise, we'll talk about it here in a little bit. Next thing you get asked is 10A and 10B. People always get this one confused. 10A is you are Hispanic. Hispanic or Latino, or you're not Hispanic or Latino.
Got it.
Then you go over to B. So you check. I would check not, right?
Right.
And then you would go over, and then it asks you what your race is. I'd obviously check white, as along with everybody in this room.
Mm-hmm.
And then your other options are American Indian.
There's not an Italian option on there.
What?
There's not an Italian option on there, because that's what I would. I'm kidding.
No. No, no.
So what's
no
the
Italian.
Is there a typical wait period for everybody, or does it have to be, like you said, does there have to be some kind of warning?
Both.
Or like, okay.
Yeah, so we'll get there here in a minute. Let's just finish running through the form here.
Sure.
10A, I always get people asking me, well, why do they care if I'm Hispanic or Latino or not Hispanic or Latino? And what they did was, after Fast and Furious, they created an additional database. This is what I'm told.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are Hispanic or Latino, they run you through an additional database of known cartel members and associates.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Probably more of a border state problem, a southern border problem,
right.
Not a Missouri problem.
Right.
The other thing that I think is...
But it's all federally done.
Right.
So
it's all federal.
Yeah.
And of course, in federal logic, we're only going to run the Hispanic people through this. Well, here's my point. Are you telling me that, I'm going to read off the form here, an American Indian, Alaskan Native, Asian, Black, or African American, Native Hawaiian, or Pacific Islander, or white person is not corruptible for money, or if you're threatening their family?
Right. Right.
You think you just run everybody through this database?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
The
so,
additional database. Right.
So we'll just go with that. Okay.
Right.
So then you get, yeah, it's the government. So then you get into some yes and no questions. Is this firearm actually for you? Are you the actual purchaser? Is it going into your collection? If you're buying it for somebody else, it's a different story. Are you under indictment or information in any court for any felony in which a judge could imprison you for more than a year? Okay. Wow, that went by quick.
I know.
Right. Are you a fugitive
That's
from justice?
I was trying to get to the are waiting
you,
period.
Right. Are you a convicted felon? I'll post this on there, but there's a bunch of yes and no questions. So then we run the background check. The background check, if you kick a 3-day delay, you get delayed for 3 days from the time that, the background check was run. And if they don't tell you no, you come back and you can get it. It can't come back early. We call you. No big deal. That's a federal waiting period.
How often does that happen?
It depends. If they have a really common name and they'll give us a social security number, I guarantee you they're coming back in 3 days. Right. I'll bet money on it.
Gotcha.
Now, Missouri has no state mandatory waiting period, right? So Missouri, if you're a Missouri resident, you pass the federal background check, you get the gun, there's no questions. Illinois has a 48-hour now waiting period.
Just went into effect.
Well, it was, that's the thing, though. It was always there. Okay, so it was 48 hours for your handguns, 24 hours for your long guns.
Yeah.
Now it's 48 hours blanket.
Gotcha. Okay,
and we have to observe that in Missouri. So if you're from Illinois and you come to Southern Armory, we're going to have to hold you for 2 days.
Right.
No choice there.
Right.
But there's no federal. It's all the state level. All those waiting periods. And California's got them. New York's got them. Of course, New York's got them. I think Massachusetts has ones too. And I think the longest one I've heard of is like 30 days.
All right. We've got to go. I've got a lot of questions. Keep sending them to my Twitter at TonyColombo971 or the Southern Armory or Second Amendment Radio Facebook page. We're going to get to more of your questions.
We'd love to have you like us.
Yeah.
And get on there and join the conversation.
Follow us. Absolutely.
Stop in the shop.
Yep.
That's a good one.
We will see you.
We love to see you
every
there.
Time. That's a good one.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week, Saturday, 3 o'clock, Second Amendment Radio right here on FM News Talk 97.1. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.